As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Good. Nice to be with you, Mike. Thanks for knocking again. There we go.
well, we're always taught if it's closed, we knock. We just don't come barging in. That's not very, very neighborly. And speaking of neighborly, how was your neighborhood on Halloween? Are you in an area where you get a lot of knocks on the door and you got to throw some candy out there? Or what's happening in your side of town?
Well, I think there was a lot of candy given going out. I actually was away from my house that very night, but every year we get a lot of people, and it was I'm glad it could be done this year differently, which was different from what it was last year.
Absolutely.
But I don't have a sore stomach from the results of it, so I'm happy about that. How did you do?
My training has paid off. I got to Halloween. On Halloween night, I did not have any candy because, like I said, I was ramping up to the big night. And then last night, I had 3 pieces. And then I had one during the show. That's 4. And today I've had one. You're not like the mini candy bar. Not the, like the bite-sized piece, the mini candy bar. I've had one of those today. So, again, I think my theory worked. If you have a little bit all the time, and then all of a sudden you're presented with piles and piles of candy, I didn't have to go too crazy. Now, the next step is when my kids go back to school tomorrow, they're off today because it should be election day, but we don't have any elections going on this year. So it's personal development day, at least at the MCCSC. When they go to school tomorrow, then I can have I will start doing inventory. I will start sorting, hiding, procuring. Yes, all of that.
You need a little freedom. You need a little safe space to do that.
Well, I don't want to hurry. I don't want to knock anything over. I don't want to get caught. I don't want to. So we'll have some fun with that. Now, obviously, we mentioned last year being different for Halloween because of, obviously, the pandemic. We're getting closer and closer. We're moving closer and closer in the right direction. You have meetings every week, multiple times, with all of our local hospital leaders and health officials and everything else. Last Wednesday, a press release came out from the county health department saying, hey, look, here we go. This is what we're going to do. And when the city when the state turns our county blue, everything's going to be somewhat back to normal, and we'll do this and that. Well, we were blue, but not blue enough. Now I've got help me, please, because I was on the air trying to do this in real time last week, and I think I got it right. Of the per 100,000, we had 90-some cases, and we needed to be below 50, but I just didn't understand how the blue came in because – they made a color-coded map, so we didn't have to do any math. But the blue was the blue we didn't need, or we need more blue, or we need more blue tomorrow. Help me out, my friend.
Well, it is complicated. The overall good news is we're moving in the right direction. And anybody looks at the state map, if you look at it right now, there's only one county that's colored blue, and that's Monroe County. So that's a good thing. But the health board locally said we have to have 2 things be true in order to drop the mask mandate. And those 2 things are we have to be in blue status on that map. And that means they measure a couple different things, but you have to be in blue status on that map. And we have to be below 50, cases per 100,000. And you can be blue, but not be below 50. You technically could be below 50 and not be blue, but you have to be both. And as soon as we're both on a Wednesday, then the order, a mask order, automatically disappears that midnight. So I don't think that likely will happen tomorrow. That's when it's updated, but we'll find out. But that's what we have to keep watching.
Gotcha. So the clarity is in that it's both. Not one or the other. So I could see why people were questioning, hey, we're in blue. It shows us we're in blue right there, but we needed to have both of those angles. Now, at the state level, you were telling me, and I read this headline as well, Governor Eric Holcomb has extended the health mandate. Tell me what that involves. It's nothing different, right? He's just extending it for another 30 days?
Yeah, so that, and that was important. This state declaration of a health emergency is what allows us, for example, to have city council meetings and board meetings that are virtual, and both the county and the city do that, and people do it all across the state. As soon as that health order is over, then the new legislation kicks in from the General Assembly, which says you may have public meetings that include a virtual option, but you must have most of your people in the room together. So that's a big change. That'll be a change for city council meetings and county council meetings, et cetera, and for board meetings and all these things. You know, we got dozens of boards. So that will be a big deal if and when that gets back to regular status on December 1st. So we have to keep watching that. I think we're planning to be ready to do that. And we hope the numbers keep getting better and that we'll all feel better about that. But we're going to keep watching it.
And the moving forward part of this, I know that we've talked about this often, and I just want to make sure I'm staying on the right page here. You will continue to do things like Zoom for the general public, but your people on the council will actually go to the meetings instead of be in participating via Zoom. Is that, do I have my Zoom right?
Yeah. Basically, once the state emergency is done, and it now it's going through December 1st, as I think that was the date anyway. Once that's over, you must have public meetings in person. Now, you're allowed to have some of your members now under new state law. You're allowed to have some of your board members. Let's say you got, you know, 9 council members. You may have, I don't know, 3 or 4 of them may Zoom in, but you have to meet in public. You have to let the public into the meetings. You can choose to have the public zoom in as well, though you're not required to do that. But I think most of us want to keep doing that because the public likes it. It helps participation. But it's even trickier because, like, you can't have the same 3 council members not show up in person. You can only do a certain percent per year, and it's all very complicated. But
yeah, someone's going to have to be the scorekeeper for that, aren't they?
Yeah, it's like a, I don't know, DL list or, you know, red shirt numbers or something. How many
scholarships are on there? Right.
Or whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, but it'll get worked out.
All right, so the added value to this would be opening the doors again to have the public physically in the room where the meeting is taking place. The electronic part of that probably will not change because all you're doing is really flipping a switch or two. That technology is there. It's been there. It's been used. That's how we got through with it. So...
It's actually new technology, just to not to interrupt, but you know, if you're all Zoom, that's one thing, but if you're trying to do a live meeting plus Zoom participants, that does take different technology, which we've been working on when we hope is ready.
Gotcha.
I guess we'll find out when we flip the switch, but you know, you got to be able to have monitors that show the Zoom participants and talk back and forth and that kind of stuff. But we'll get there, I think.
Gotcha. Well, you will help me out during this transition time. I never thought getting back to normal would be so complicated, but it is. We almost forgot where we were, and now we have to go back in the same direction, but we're going a different way to get back to normal. Interesting.
You know, Penny Cottle put it well. Our health official said, you know, it was complicated getting into this pandemic. It's going to be complicated getting out of it, too, and it is.
That's a pretty good point. We mentioned or we heard in Jim Edmonds talking about, you know, what's coming up in Thanksgiving and things like that. As far as everything, how we stand today on the second day of November, are we going to do things like the tree lighting downtown and all the fun stuff we usually do after Thanksgiving? Is that in the works right now if we keep trending in the right direction? Obviously, it should be, but if it happened today, are we still doing that?
I'm holding my evening for the Friday after Thanksgiving.
All right.
I don't know. You know, that's such a wonderful tradition. It's outdoors, which is good, or most of it is, and I'll try to get firmer news on that as we get closer, but hold your date. It'd be fun. Let's hope it can work.
I agree with you. That'll be Friday the 26th if you're scoring at home or making plans, which you should be. That's the day after Thanksgiving. So a great tradition that, getting back to normal, trying to get some normal things going. Mayor John Hamilton normally checks in with us on Tuesday, so it is Tuesday, and we're handling this all right. And last Tuesday we spoke to you. Your city council was going to get together on Wednesday and make a final determination on the 2022 budget. And as we learned late on Wednesday or Wednesday evening, everybody came together. Politicking happened, discussions, everything else. And away we go on a new budget. That must be good for all parties involved, I would think.
I was trying to remember. You could play the tape, but I think I was hopeful when we talked last Tuesday. I thought it would go through.
Yes.
And I was very pleased. It went through unanimously, 9-0 vote, despite some people suggesting it was a grueling process. I think some of us felt not grueling, maybe a little bumpy, but I'm very pleased. It's a good budget, really good budget, really important to get it passed. Very glad we got unanimous support. It's going to let us invest in the recovery that is so important, both for jobs and helping our business sector and our employers and our employees get the support they need, helping significant money to help us invest in housing, both from those experiencing homelessness all the way up to kind of market rate housing, trying to help make sure people can access it, to investing in infrastructure and sidewalks and paths and all kinds of important stuff, helping our employees, we're able to do the funding of the increases in public safety salaries. And overall, it's a really good budget. I talk about the 2020s. This decade we're in is a really important one. What are we going to look like in 2030? And I'm pleased that this budget is, I think, moving us in the right direction.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest, and obviously the extra 2 weeks that the city council wanted, in those 2 weeks, were those the decisions or the compromises that pushed this thing over the finish line? Was it reassurances? Take us behind the curtain to kind of how that sausage is made.
Well, interestingly, the actual budget did not change. The dollar amounts, the ordinance that they voted on, we did clarify some things. I tried to help understand them understand me understand them, the council. For example, we had argued they wanted $5,000 more in the base pay of every officer, sworn officer, police officer. And I had said, look, we don't have the money. I have one-time money, but I don't have ongoing money to put it in the base pay. I did put it in a retention bonus. I explained to them, I will do two things. Look, we're going to be negotiating the labor contract for the police, and we're going to assume that's going to be in there. We're not going to take that away, but we're not going to sign a contract, council, until you show us how you got ongoing revenue to support this. So it's going to go back into their lap a little bit in the spring. As we have a contract, if it's ready to sign, it'll say, well, you got to show us revenue now to do it. And similarly, there's an interest in another position that we figured out it could be done in a different spot. I'm happy to add sustainability investments. So there's kind of some clarifications, but the budget numbers didn't change. But I think we got some more understanding. I think we could have done it the 2 weeks before that, but it worked the way it did. So we got it done. Let's move on.
And I think one of the most important things about making the sausage, and Marty Hawk, my friend at the county council who joins us on Wednesdays, helps us out with this, the ongoing revenue, it's just because you say, hey, we're going to do this, well, you have to pay for it forever if that's part of how that works. It just, again, it's not a bag that Santa drops off on Christmas night and then you pass it out. And no, you got to do that every single year. And I think some people get lost on that. So we try to help make that clear, and you did a good job of making that. Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. We do have a question from the audience today. The magic number of 50 cases per 100,000 that your group talks about, and that was the part of the two-pronged, two things that had to happen. Who came up with that? Is that an arbitrary number, or where does that number come from?
Well, it's arbitrary in the sense that most of this stuff, you have to pick a number if you're going to have a.
For example, why wasn't it 100? Why was it 50 or so on and so forth?
Yeah, I mean, I'll say a couple things. One, most of this is derived from science, you know, the epidemiologist that neither of us is, trying to look at spread and threats. Similarly, the kind of one of the magic numbers is what percent positivity do you have in the cases that you're testing, and 5% is a number. If you're below that, that's good. But what's really the difference between 5.01 and 4.99? You got to draw a line somewhere. But I will say, just as a way to kind of frame this stuff, you know, we have counties that are in the multi hundreds cases per thousand. Per 100,000, our experts say you really want to get below 10 cases per 100,000 to say we're not worried about spread. And so 50 is on the way there, and it's what our health group, which is made of physicians and experts in this, said if we're below 50, we feel comfortable pulling the mask mandate off and showing that we're continuing in that positive direction. But yes, it's somewhat arbitrary. There's no way around that.
Gotcha. And I think the larger part is, 93, the next week it's 89, the next week it's 86, next week it's 82, you know what I mean? It's just not,
And look, we've come, we were at 140, I think, a few weeks ago, so we're down to 90-something. That's good. Getting to 50 is real change, and that's important.
And then that way, that's what causes the mandate to automatically end. If it was at 53, say, for 4 weeks in a row, you could come back and say, that's pretty close. We can go ahead and change that.
Exactly. Yes, they could.
Gotcha.
Yes, they could.
All right.
It's not automatic without that. Yeah.
Automatic is the key. That is the key word there. So it is not forever, and the powers that be, can go ahead and change that if they see it just doesn't hit that magic number for whatever reason. We hope you're right, though. We hope it goes from 140 to 90 to 40, and then away we go, and we're on the way. Then we're sailing along. You're going to be very busy this Friday. It's the first Friday of the new month, so that means there's gallery walk and fun things going on. Well, down on the corner of 4th Street and College, the Waldron is back in the city's hands, and if anybody has driven by there, the Waldron, the parking garage, that's had a lot of activity here for the last year, Mayor Hamilton. Tell me what's going on this Friday.
Yeah, I hope people, First Friday is a really fun fun event, first Friday of every month for Art Walk, and it's a great time to get out into the community. And one stop on that walk, if you're down around downtown in the different galleries, is at the Waldron at 4th and College. Fourth and Walnut.
I said Fourth and College. That was my fault. But if you turn,
anyway,
east on Fourth and College, you'll eventually get to Fourth and Walnut.
But that's the building that we're planning to open up first of next year, and there's a lot of work going on. We just wanted to give a little update to folks who care about it. And 5 o'clock, if you come by there, I plan to be there and a few other folks to tell us what's going on with the Waldron. And it's a great time to be downtown anyway. And it is a reminder, you mentioned, one of the things we did in city government to try to help us recover through all this was to keep these construction projects going, because they helped keep people employed. They helped keep work going even when some other things were shutting down. So we do have the, two garages, one replacement, one new. We've got the Waldron going on. We've got, you see a lot of construction happening, of course, the new hospital opening in a matter of a month or so. So there's a lot of good things happening, and we want to just keep the momentum going.
Excellent. And that momentum is rolling along. Speaking of rolling along, the hospital, didn't they have a dry run on practicing for their big move coming up last week? Did you get any feedback from that or any issues or just a perfect dry run?
I don't, in about 1 hour, I'm going to be touring the new place.
Very cool.
I'll get you some specific updates on that. But they haven't canceled the tour, so I think they're still planning to move forward as they do. That'll be a big day for the community.
Absolutely. Then I'll get a full report from you next Tuesday on what you've seen at the new hospital. Before I let you go today, let's see. We talked about first Friday, the Waldron, the 7 Line getting closer. The blank spaces on the islands, are those for trees, or what are we going to do in those spots that are on the traffic islands there.
So my first, yes, those are, we're going to have quite a number of plantings going in there, including trees, and we got to plant those at the right time, and neither am I an epidemiologist nor an arborist, so I don't know exactly when that happens, but I know people who know. But I got a question for you, which is if we do the ribbon cutting to get that thing going at noon, are you busy at noon all the time, or are you going to come down and ride a bike or skateboard or something, you know, when we cut that ribbon?
Yes, I'll be down there all to check it out for sure. Now, when are you going to do that?
Well, I don't have a date yet,
okay,
but it's
going
to come in the next couple of weeks, I think. So,
well, let's take a look at the extended forecast before we make any rash decisions on how that works. All right, that's exciting. The culvert is in, ready to go. The last really issue is the intersection at what is that 7th and
Morton? Well, the B line and the 7 line we're working on. Yeah, west of Morton. Hey, now, one other thing I want people to be aware of is if you're going down High Street, we had a house that was going to get demolished, and this is kind of interesting, that was going to get demolished, and the owner who's going to demolish it offered it to the fire department. So the fire department's going to do what they don't get to usually do much of, which is live fire rescue training in a structure, a residence. So that's going to be going on, so don't worry if you see that happening. But it's our great fire department, the new top-ranked fire department, trying to keep their skills honed and practicing on a structure with real fire, which is, you know, nothing can replace that, really, in terms of making sure you've got your training kicking in.
Excellent. So that's going to be on High Street. Well, the fire department will already be there, so you don't really have to call them, which is good. That'll save you a phone call. I haven't heard of this before. Is this how rare it happens, or rarely doesn't happen, I guess, would be the way to look
really
at it.
It really does not happen. It doesn't happen very much. You got to get permits from the state, from the Department of Environmental Management. You know, we don't allow open burning in the city.
Right.
And you got to remove a bunch of stuff, all the carpeting and asphalt shingles and all kinds of vinyl stuff that might cause.
So you want like a clean burn.
Yeah, and you make it so it has less pollution. But it's down at 1200 South High this week, and I hope to actually stop by and see him because it's impressive. They did a little baby mayor kind of train with live fire, but it was in a controlled box, and you just got to see it and wear the gear. But this where they go into an actual structure fire and work on things will be really important. I don't think it's been done since I've been mayor the last 5 years, but it'll be an important practice for them.
Very interesting and very cool. So we'll have plenty to get caught up with next Tuesday. Your tour of the hospital, your tour of a burning building. Those are two things you usually not say in the same sentence, but that's always good. And one thing before I let you know, because we've been talking all afternoon about the great things that have happened and are happening and will happen at Switchyard Park. Well, it continues this weekend because the Bloomington Winters Farmers Market will be open coming up this Saturday and will run every Saturday through March 22nd or March 2022, except for Christmas Day.
A great treat. I always enjoy that. Another way to see the ever-changing Switchyard Park. As the seasons move, so does it. But the Winter Farmers Market will be back. That's a good time.
Now, Winter Farmers Market will open Saturday. What about the Downtown Farmers Market? Is that still up and running as well?
Yes. Yes, and we have the Holiday Mart coming up, but
cool.
It's still running. I'll try to get you the details on that. I think that's around Thanksgiving. But we also have the Farm Stop store. That's open. They had a big opening on Sunday. That's a kind of a commissary for local farms on West Kirkwood. That's a great place to go. So keep watching the news, but yes, the Downtown Farmers Market keeps going too.
Excellent.
Through November.
Well, shift that over to the deputy mayor for Thursday. Then I will grill him with my difficult line of questioning.
There you go.
Awesome.
He gets all the hard stuff. I'm going to make that's a good pattern. All right. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, John. We appreciate your time as always.
Have a good week. Talk to you. Bye.